Then you should make sure the meditation room is clean. It's important that it be just very like orderly and neat, and it should be a nice, like a beautiful place to sit in, something that you really like. Like when you go in that room or that part of your room, it should be some kind of peaceful place or something. So it's important that the ambiance of the place be right. Make sure it's clean and neat. Like I have a bunch of junk papers here that you can't see behind this table. And that's very bad for meditation. Okay, like having any kind of magazines or newspaper or books in front of your face, your eye will start to wander, and your eye will start to catch these things, and you'll get distracted. So it's good not to have those things, and not to have junk in front of your eyes. If you can have a cloth like this red cloth, and you're just like, the only thing in front of your eye in the field of vision is something that's not distracting, that's very good. Okay, then you prepare your offerings on the altar, and you do your, these are offering bowls, and we'll talk about them before this thing is over, okay? By the way, is it next week? Well, next week's class will be taught by a nun, a very fine nun from New Jersey, Thupten Jinyi. And she's very good at it. And she's going to go over how to do the offering bowls and stuff, okay? She's been a scholar of Buddhism for about 25 years. And she's very good Tibetan. She reads Tibetan very well, translates well, stuff like that. So you make sure your altar is nice. You put out some fresh offerings. Offerings are, it's not like the Buddha needs your water, you know? I'm sure the Buddha would prefer some kind of orange juice or something. And it's not like they come and they drink out of these little bowls. Each one has a different meaning. Each one has different significance. And you can learn it. We believe that an enlightened being, their body is made of light, some kind of shining light. They don't have the internal organs that you or I have. They do have a physical, you know, they have arms and legs and body, but we don't believe it's, they have inner organs or blood or bones like we have. So they have some kind of like angel's body, but they don't have organs or blood or anything inside. It's sort of like light. They're made of light. So they can't even drink this if they wanted to. You see what I mean? And there'd be no place for it to trickle down to, you know. So the point is not that they're going to come and drink it or anything like that. It's like the cookies that you put out for Santa Claus, you know. It's not like he's going to eat them, but it's like an invitation, okay? They do come to the room. When you start putting out offerings, they're like, they take interest, and they can be in the room. There's a text, ancient text, that says, come on, Buddhists are omniscient. Buddhists know all things. They know it when you wake up. They know it when you go to the bathroom. They know it when you brush your teeth. They knew it a million years ago that you were going to brush your teeth. They saw it directly. They see it directly at all times. So what, they have to wait till you put out your bowls before they know you want them to come? They knew a million years ago you were going to put out those bowls. I mean, they could come like 5 minutes before you come up to your room, you know, to your meditation spot. What's the point? You know, if they know that you want them to come, they come. And they knew it a zillion years before you knew it. So what's the point? It's all meant to address the perceptions of us, you know, of humans. You know, we think that you have to set out something. You know, we think that you have to invite them. We think that you have to say certain prayers to attract them. Actually, they're totally aware of your mind, and they were aware of your mind 100 years ago. They knew your thoughts today 100 years ago. So this is all more or less just to comfort human beings. Does that mean it's meaningless? Not at all. Because you are in the human realm, and this makes it more concrete for you. So that's important to do. It's not that you shouldn't do any of these things. You should do them all perfectly because they can see your mind. Okay? This is how you state your own seriousness about it, is by doing all these things. So these are preparation. Then you sit down on your meditation seat. And I'm going to go through it, assuming you haven't heard it before, you only heard it a few times. You can sit in a full lotus like that with your feet up like that if you can. That's ideal. But it's very painful for most people, even if you can do it. As good as you can do it, it's not very, it's not like vital that you do it, okay? And if it hurts, then it's ridiculous to do it, because meditation, you're supposed to be concentrating on the subject of the meditation. If your body hurts, if your butt hurts or your back hurts or your ankles hurt, then you're going to get distracted. That's the worst possible thing in meditation. So the goal is to find a posture which is comfortable for you. If that means a chair or a couch, that's okay. If you're able to sit cross-legged, it's better. If you sit with a support on your back or if you sit on a couch or something like that, there's a chance you'll start to get sleepy. You probably will get sleepy, okay? So it's important to sit on the ground and be cross-legged if you can. If you can't do a full lotus, put your right leg down first and then put your left leg over it, okay, like that. Then put your left hand down first, okay? Palm up, and then your right hand palm. And like that, join your thumbs like that, okay? If you're doing a full lotus, then your hands will be like that, and if you pressed in towards your body, your thumbs would hit your belly button, okay? Put your thumbs like that in your belly button, and see if your hands touch your lap. And they don't, okay? I mean, on most people, everyone's different, okay? So I usually tell students to put a piece of cloth under there. It's supposed to be that your thumbs are joined in front of your belly button. And then if you pressed in, they would touch your belly button. If your body's not built like that, and that's, by the way, where they are if you're doing a full lotus. The two feet are holding up your hands. If you're not like that, then use some kind of cloth and support them. There are two great enemies to meditation. One of the words for meditation in Tibetan is nyomjuk. Nyomjuk means halfway between two extremes. The two extremes in meditation are the mind slowing down too much, which is caused by eating too much, not enough sleep, being overworked, stuff like that. That's where you're starting to get drowsy. The other extreme is where your mind is thinking about too many different things. Like, what do I have to do after work? You know, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? What kind of snack do I have at home after I get out of the kitchen thing? And those are two extremes. You want to put your mind in the middle. Personally, and everybody's body is different, but my body, I get sleepy if I get too warm. You know? So I like to... I just wear my shirt here, so I'm... Excuse me, I'm not picking up. And then I use this, personally, for the cloth under my hand. And I wrap it up and I get my hands up a little higher. And that keeps your hands in the right position. So if you have a sweater, that's good, or something like that. First thing I find is if I get too warm, I go to the extreme of too drowsy. Personally, I have to stay a little cold. But you shouldn't stay so cold that you catch a cold, okay? That's not good either. It's good to have your arms away from your body. I find that heat builds up here and makes me sleepy, you know. So the way I do that, you rotate your fingers in a little bit. You see, instead of sitting like that, you go like that, and that puts them a little bit away from the body. So you just go like that. And that forces your elbows away from your body a little bit. It also helps you sit up straight. Okay? The back is supposed to be as straight as a stack of golden coins, okay? And it's important to keep your head straight. A lot of people tend to... I have some students who start to go like this after a while. You know, I have some who start to go like that. I have a lot who start to go like that. Okay? I mean, it's supposed to be straight ahead, straight on like that. You know, deep state of meditation is not some mystical thing where you're like off in the void somewhere. It's exactly the state of mind you have when you're watching a movie that you really like, okay? Like, when you were a kid and you were watching Saturday morning cartoons or something, and your mom came in and said, breakfast is ready, and you didn't actually hear her, and she came in and hit you on the head and said, why are you ignoring me? You say, honest, I didn't hear you. That's called Nangla Mangepa. It's a mental function that's recognized in Tibetan psychology. And what it means is you're so into it that you just don't... You've actually withdrawn from your sense organs. except for your visual, right? I mean, like, looking at, for me it was Biggie Rat and Bullwinkle and stuff. So you're just so into it. And that's meditation. That state of attention is really meditation. So I think most Americans, when they close their eyes and go inward, they just automatically drift off to the low end, you know, to the drowsy end. The point is not to get stupid or drugged out or buzzed out or something like that. That's considered very dangerous in all schools of Buddhism, early Buddhism. You know, the way the Buddha taught it, that's a very dangerous thing to get into because you think you're doing well. You know, and you can spend your whole life like that and you're not going to get, it doesn't help you to sit there and just, you know, buzz out. So the point is not to like, just to get comfortable. In fact, you're breaking a bodhisattva vow. For those of you who have bodhisattva vows, it's called, sanden rola yunden ta, which means to think that when it feels really good in meditation, that that's the goal of your meditation. Because it's not. The goal of meditation is to see some higher things that can get you out of this realm, out of this body, you know. This body's a dead end. This body will kill you. It's just a matter of time, you know. We don't know who will die first in this room, somebody. I mean, we'll come here some night and say, the stock market crashed and also so-and-so died, you know. And then there'll be the second person and people won't be so amazed. And the third person, they'll talk about it even less. And then the last person here will be lonely, you know. It'll come. It'll come. Like, the point is to do something about that. Okay. It's not to just feel good while you're dying. You know, that's not the point of meditation. Okay. So that's actually another fault, is to just sit there and buzz out. Your attention should be like that. So sitting there and feeling great is not the point of meditation. What is the point? Like, am I supposed to watch a good movie or what? That now you're supposed to talk about, what are you going to meditate about? See, if meditation is just being buzzed out, then anybody can do that, you know, and just sit here and get buzzed out. But sooner or later, your body will get old, you won't be able to sit like that, and you'll die. It's not a goal to get buzzed out. And anyway, there's better ways to do it, right? Like certain kinds of beer or other things. So it's not the point. The point is to be concentrated on something that's going to help you. Okay. So anyway, left hand down first. So I'm just trying to say, that's why I try to stay. I try to stay personally a little cold when I'm meditating. But not so cold that you get sick. Like, to get wet, to sit on cement, for example, is very bad. To sit where it's damp is very bad. That starts to hurt your body. Okay. So anyway, left hand down first, then right hand. Sit up straight. If you meditate a lot, you'll find that if you lean forward very slightly, it helps. Okay, it keeps your back straight. Okay, it's very important if you can not to move during your meditation session. Okay, I like to. There's going to be a warm up for the meditation, and then there'll be the actual meditation. We'll do both tonight. But while you're doing the warm up, I mean, I take a break halfway between. I do my warm up, which we'll talk about tonight, and then I actually do all my. I save all my moving for the break. Okay, like I don't move during the warm-up. Then I take like a 2-minute break and I do all the adjustments that I wanted to do. I scratch all the things that I wanted to scratch, you know. So just stay absolutely still for the first 15, 20 minutes or whatever. You know what I mean? Just stay absolutely still and don't move. Can you guys help pass up that thing there? Then there'll come a break, and then you can shift around, and you can scratch yourself. In our lineage, they say don't drink anything or eat anything while you're, even during the break. There's lineages that say you should, but we don't. So during the, I take a short break like 20 minutes into it or something. If you can do, 40 minutes of good meditation at the beginning, that's great. Half hour is good. I'd say maximum is about an hour and 15 minutes for a normal person. And the thing is quality and not quantity, you know? Like you can sit there for 8 hours and have your mind wander for 7.5 of them. But there's no point to it. You know, you just feel bad. It's better to do like the Sakya tradition, which is also our lineage, in the Vajrayogini practice, would say even 10 minutes or 15 minutes, take a short break, go back again, do it 7 times or something like that. So make the quality good and don't worry about that you're going to get famous for sitting there for 3 hours or something. You know, the meditation is not for other people. You don't have to tell other people about your meditation. And so you shouldn't be worried about whether you can do it for 3 or 4 hours. It doesn't matter. You're not going to tell anybody anyway. Yeah. That's only 15 minutes, right? Okay. So, believe me, half hour is good, 45 minutes is great, 1 hour is probably max, okay? Then break and do it again. You know, to really concentrate for a half hour is extraordinary. Okay, yeah.
I think it's better to try to do consistently 20 minutes a day rather than sort of marathon sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very much like exercise, you know? You know, and I know, that if you go out and jog the first day for an hour, it's the best way to ruin your any chances of exercising regularly. Because after 2 weeks, you'll quit because you don't have time to spend an hour. So it's very good to spend shorter times. It's also really good if you can do it at the same time every day. You know, I worked in this corporation for 15 years. Lunchtime was at 1 o'clock. And on the weekends, around 1 o'clock, 1:00, I'd have this hunger attack, you know. Because you're used to having lunch at the same minute every day. If you do your meditation at the same minute, like 7:15 every morning, it's very good because you'll get the urge to meditate at 7:15 every morning. You know, so it's very good if you can do it at the same time. Regularity is much more important than marathon. You know, to do it, pick something realistic. You know, don't say 2 hours. Say at the beginning a half hour every day or 20 minutes. But don't break it. You know, the important thing is not to break it. Somebody asked me, is it okay if I don't do my meditation today? I said, yeah, if you want to suffer and die and continue to live in this crappy world that you're in, yeah, I hereby exempt you, you know. You want me to sign something, you know. It's not for me, you know. It's for your life. It's for your, you don't have much time, you know. You're going to die. You know, somebody in this room, some people will die by accident, you know. We don't know who. They'll die young, you know. I can't tell you when you're going to die. So don't ask me for an exemption, you know. Ask death, you know, if they'll give you an extra day or something. But otherwise, you should meditate every day. This is the way to get out. You cannot move through the spiritual levels of Buddhism except in deep meditation, period. You know, all the great realizations of Buddhism occur in deep meditation, period. So if you don't learn how to meditate deeply, you stop. You'll always be here. You'll just die. Okay. Okay. Left hand down, right hand there. Sit up straight. Eyes can be open or closed. It doesn't matter. If you get really good at meditating, some of the scriptures say you could have your eyes half closed like that. And it's important that the eyes be on a down plane, okay, like that. And you can have your eyelids half closed and your eyes are on a down plane. And it's important not to focus them. You know how when you're thinking about some girl, Dr. Sykes, and you're like, you know, and your eyes aren't focusing. You know what I mean? How that's like, what do you call it? Like there's a French word. No. Just like, no, there's something like reverie. In a reverie. And you know, like you're sitting there like that. That's like your eyes aren't focused on anything. You're just staring, you know, like kind of staring off into space. The idea is the same in meditation. You're sitting straight and you're just like not looking at anything. Your eyes are focused somewhere around here. And you're not seeing anything clearly. Like in a reverie, you know. So it's like that. You can do it that way or you can close your eyes. Okay. It doesn't matter at all. Okay. You should breathe through your nose and not through your mouth, unless you have a bad cold. That's better than suffocating, okay? The corners of your mouth, make sure they're... I'll give you a clue, you know, make sure they're very loose. That's important. The tongue should just be natural. And if you have buck teeth like me, or depending on your own teeth, okay, everybody has different teeth, you might want to crack your mouth open a little bit. But it should be very, very natural, you know. If it feels more natural to leave it open to touch, it's okay. If it feels more natural to keep it closed, it's okay. But don't keep it tight, you know. Don't go like, don't purse your lips, you know. Don't keep your, you know, keep your lips loose. That's important for your meditation, okay. And then you start your session with breathing, okay. We're going to do now about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Then we'll take a short break and then we'll do a meditation. We're gonna, by the way, get yourself a clock, one that doesn't tick. Set it for the meditation period you're gonna do. And then, that's very good, because then you won't think about what you have to do. You know what I mean? You won't think about, oh, I gotta get up at such and such a time because I'm gonna miss work or something like that. Okay? If you have a PM, AM clock, be careful not to make a mistake. I've done it a few times. You sit there for like an hour and a half and you start wondering, you know. Okay? Very dangerous. Okay? All right, we'll do about 20 minutes, ready? The important thing is to be comfortable. If it's more comfortable for you to keep your plums down, then do it. If it's more comfortable for you to sit on a chair, then do it. If it's more comfortable for you to stick your legs out or something, don't worry about it. You don't want to think about your body, and you don't want to move for the next 20 minutes. Okay, ready? Now watch your breath as it moves through your nose, and concentrate on the physical feeling of the breath touching your nostrils, like the front of your nostrils. You'll feel breath passing and touching the front of your nostrils. So pretend you're like a little man standing at the front of the nostrils, and you're watching the breath go back and forth by how it feels on your skin. During this period, don't try to control your breath. Don't try to do anything strange with your breath. Just watch it. Now we'll go to the first of the warm-ups. You have to go through these warm-ups or you will not be able to meditate properly. Okay. First one is to review what you're doing and what you're hoping for. You know, what do you want to get out of this practice? And imagine what it would be like. There are many aspects you can take, but one aspect of nirvana is imagine what it would be like never to have a negative emotion like anger or jealousy again. Try to imagine what that would be like. And make that the first part of your meditation tonight. Then we practice compassion, and it's okay if this is very artificial at first. And you pick someone that you could think about that's suffering. So I think tonight, try to think about all the people who might be suffering from depression, especially in this area like East Village. Like, there's a lot of people who are depressed. They look like they're having a good time. They're really depressed, and think about how, if you became enlightened, you could read their minds, you could see their future, you could help them. So imagine how nice it would be if you could help them, if you could go to them and help them, because you can read their mind, because you can see their future. Next step is to invite your teacher to come, and if you have a teacher, then ask them to come and sit in front of you. You can't see them, but they're there. If you don't have a teacher, then try to imagine inviting some very holy being, the sweetest, most holy being you can imagine, male or female, doesn't matter, and ask them to come and sit with you during your session. then you show some kind of respect for that teacher. Like in the scripture, it says you could bow down on your right knee in your mind and pay respect to them. Then you make them some kind of offering. There's a lot of offerings you can make, but one is choose something from nature, beautiful, something that no one owns, like the color of the autumn leaves and the color of the trees. This morning, like after the rain and the sun came out and all the different autumn colors, you could offer that to this being. So offer that. It's important to, before you go into your deep meditation, it's important to make sure your conscience is clear. If your conscience is not clear, you cannot meditate nicely, and you can try for years, and you'll never understand why. So you look into your conscience and see if there's anything there that is bothering you. And if it is, then you look at it, you bring it up and look at it, and admit it, and then clean it out. You know, in your mind say, okay, that's past. I did do that, and I'm going to clean it up now, and I won't be doing that kind of thing anymore. And just in your mind, bring it up, clean it out, admit that it was wrong, and then get over with it, okay? It's going to slow you down if you're trying to meditate. Then it's very important you do the opposite and you think of something good you've done in your life, that all the good things, the times you've helped people, the times you've tried to find a spiritual path. All those are very, very good things. You should be proud of them. And think about the good things you've done in your life, especially seeking this path. Next one is to ask the teachers to teach you. And there's different teachers. Oh, sorry. By the way, if your nose starts running, if you have to sneeze, sneeze. But don't worry about the snot. Just let it go, okay? And don't move, okay, if you can help it. You can clean up later. Ask the teachers in your life to keep teaching you, especially the spiritual teachers. The ones you know about and the ones you don't know about. Last thing is to ask them to stay in this world. This is not their realm. They don't have to be here. If they're here, it's to help you. So, just to ask them to stay here and help you. That's the warm-up for meditation. If you need to shift or move or adjust something, do it now for about a minute. That was nice. You stayed really still. That was good. Okay, we'll start again. You always go back to your breath. When you start again, you always go back to your breath. And watch your breath coming on in and out. This is a meditation warm-up. And then later, some people made a mistake and thought it was the meditation. It's just meant to get your mind into neutral. It's not the meditation, you know. It doesn't help to watch your breath your whole life. You're just going to die like that. Someday you watch it stop, you know. I mean, it's not the goal of meditation to watch yourself breathe. You could also watch your earwax grow and stuff like that, but it's not the goal of meditation. It's a method to get into meditation. Okay, it's taught in the Abhidharma Kosha 350 AD. It's called Ugjumu. And tonight I'm going to teach you what we call protection meditation. This is for protection. And it's very good, like at night, if you're having a bad night, like a bad dream. So if you've been having bad thoughts come into your mind, like even during the day, or depression or anything like this, this is a very powerful protection meditation. So first you imagine that you're sitting on a huge flower, okay, like a huge white flower, and you can feel the petals and you can smell it around you, and it like comes up to your knees or something, and you're sitting in the middle of this huge white flower, and the flower is on the ground outside. Then imagine that you're in a huge valley, like maybe a mile or two across. And it's not, there's not much in the valley. It's like pretty bare. Like small bushes and sand, rocks, like that. Nothing very amazing. You're in the middle of this valley. There's sunlight, the sky's blue. Clean. Now around in the valley, picture dead people, people that you know who have died. Picture their bodies. They could be whole or they could be rotting or already skeletons, animals you knew that died. Picture them spread throughout on the ground around you in the valley. And the point of this is not to get scared or anything disgusting. It's to look at them and think, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to go like that. You know, it's I want to use my life for something meaningful, and I don't want to die like they died. I want to, if there is any way to stop that useless dying of good people in this world, then I want to stop it. And when you look at them, don't get disgusted. Just feel sadness and say, I want to stop that. I want to see life. I don't want to see death. I want to make people learn to live. And I won't waste my time in my life. I will make, if there is a way to stop those things, that kind of death, I will try to find it. And that's what I'm living for. And this protects you, because if you have this attitude, then you won't be worried about how famous you are, or how much money you have, or where you're going to live, or it doesn't matter. The important thing is to try to stop that kind of suffering for yourself and for other people. So when you look at the dead people there, try to imagine real dead people that you know, people that you heard about, people that you really know who died. But don't just get grossed out. I mean, look at them and think, I want to make it. I mean, if you saw the end of Braveheart, right? The guy was inspired at the end and brave and fear. I mean, the more horrible things that happened, the more brave he got. And look around and feel courage that you're, if this Buddhism is true, then you're really doing something to stop these things. And around the edge of the valley, like see the valley going up to some hills. And they're pretty far away. They're like half a mile, three quarters of a mile away, circling your valley. And then from those hills, see a huge wall. It looks like glass, but it's made of diamond. It's just pure diamond wall, like the Great Wall of China or something. It's thick. It's many feet thick, and it's pure diamond. And imagine a wall like that around your valley. Very high wall. When you see the wall, think of what you understand about the path, what knowledge you have about the path. I think the most important basic knowledge that you have about the path is about karma. That the bad things in your life you cannot blame on other people. You cannot blame them on your childhood. You cannot blame them on circumstances. You cannot blame them on some god or some devil. If you understand Buddhism, and the more you understand, the more you realize they are coming because of what you did in your past. If you hurt people, bad things will happen in your life. If you help people, good things will happen. And it's never any other way. Everything is locked in. Everything is run by that fact. And when you see the wall of diamond, then you think about, right now, think about the fact of karma. Everything that ever happened to you negative was from something you did to hurt someone. And everything that happens to you that's good is because you served other people and you helped other people. So when you see the wall, think about karma. This is real protection. The last step of this meditation is outside the wall, see a huge fire, like it stretches for a few hundred yards outside the wall, and the flames are high, they're even higher than the wall, say 100-150 feet high. The flames are just bursting into the sky, a huge ring of fire, a huge wall of fire outside the diamond wall, like nothing could ever get through the fire to get to the diamond wall. And nothing could ever get past the diamond wall and across the death, the valley of death, to you. So imagine a huge fire outside the diamond wall. It's you can see it well over the top of the diamond wall. Then the wall is compassion, and you have to think about, I mean the fire. When you see the fire, you have to think about compassion. I was in a plane one time in Chicago, and they told us it was going to crash. You know, they told us we were circling, and we asked them, why are we circling? And they said, the landing gear is not working, and we're going to crash, and we're trying to use up all the fuel so it doesn't burn you all up, you know. So They were going to try to land without any fuel. So we had like a half hour to think about it. Or actually, it was longer. And it was the weirdest feeling in the airplane that many of us, you know, we thought we would be injured or die. And we were all, this feeling came into the plane of everyone loving each other and caring about each other. And everyone was trying to comfort everybody else. And nobody was complaining about the food, and nobody was worried about the movie, and the importance of being about to die made everything else unimportant, and it was the sweetest feeling of everyone helping each other and getting ready. We had to take our jewelry off because it would melt to your hand, and people had to take their shoes off so they could run faster. And when the plane broke open, and they at the very end, they made us bow down and cover our heads so we couldn't even see each other. And everyone had to think and meditate about death. And it was very powerful, and people were crying and holding each other. And actually, our whole life is the same. And throughout your life, everyone else is about to die. And there's no reason to struggle and fight with each other. And there's every reason to be kind to each other. And so think about that when you see the flame. If you get used to this meditation, it really does protect you. It protects you from bad dreams or not being able to sleep or from depression, and you can use it. You got to do it for a while, and it works. It really does work. I've had many people use it, and it helped them a lot. Okay, then it's bad luck to leave your lama sitting there and get up and go home. So we ask the Lama to come into our heart and imagine that the Lama is, or your, whoever is sitting in front of you, that they get smaller and they rise, they float up to the top of your head. And then they get smaller and they come down into your heart and they stay there. So imagine that holy being, they come up to your head and they're facing the same way as you, and then they sink down through your head and down your throat and then down into your heart. And it's considered very powerful blessing to have them inside you. Then the last step before we stop is dedication. Dedication means anytime you say anything or anytime you do anything to someone else, like just a little statement to someone or pushing someone on the sidewalk or thinking a thought about jealousy or a thought about love of somebody, they all have repercussions. Anytime you do anything in this world, it's like throwing a stone into a pond. And you set, every time you say something, every time you do something, you set in motion energy that lasts for years. Little ripples go out every time you do anything. Every time you say anything, little repercussions begin that last for years. And it's a chain reaction. You know, the boss, the president yells at the vice president yells at the manager yells at the supervisor yells at the employee yells at their wife when they get home, the wife yells at the kids. There's repercussions of anything you do. So just sitting here tonight and being quiet and thinking about these holy things, it has tremendous energy is released into the world just from these people sitting here. So pray for that energy to help people. And it'll touch people in ways you can't imagine. A lot of energy was created tonight, and a lot of energy went out. And pray that it helps people. That's the last step in the meditation. And there's a short prayer we do. If you know it, then join, okay? Gyawa di gyawa kum sanam yeshe sozo shim sanam yeshe ne chum me tambah.